Yo, what's going on, man? This is Drizzy Drake.
Hey, guys, I'm Iggy Azalea.
Yo, what's up? It's the Kid 56.
Stick around for more conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here, brought to you by Ethel May Books. This is Conversations with Allison J. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here. Today, as always, we have another captivating and thought-provoking topic and guest. Here's your host, Allison J.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here. I'm your host, Allison J. Today, I'm delighted to welcome our guest, JD Weatherspoon, co-founder of Mastermind Connect. JD, firstly, let me say publicly, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing the first part of your birthday with us here on Conversations with Allison J.
No, thank you for the invitation. If I can give on my birthday, then that probably means I'm doing something right. So thank you for the opportunity to, you know, be present and like exchange energies, ideas. I'm sure something's going to come of this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I believe so too. So JD, the reason that I reached out to you is because I'm on a journey of discovery. And one of those things, being on a journey of discovery is people think that being on a journey of discovery means finding out who you are. And in a large part, that is correct because we all need to know who we are at our core.
Yes.
But another part of that is finding out who I'm connected to, where I'm from, where I'm going. And so that a lot of the pitfalls that have been faced in the past can be avoided moving forward if we connect all of these things together. And one of the things that I am very passionate about is men, particularly men of color. And the reason being, I think, and I'm not trying to sound cliche and I'm not trying to sound all new age, but I really—
No disclaimer necessary, your truth is your truth.
But I really do believe that men don't get the help that they need, because as women, we can call up our girlfriends and we are allowed to express, we're allowed to share. Whereas men, I don't think, are given that same freedom to be able to do that. And as a result, I really find that there's a lot of men that are going through many things and feeling like, you know, that atlas with the world on their shoulders.
That's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of men are buckling underneath that.
They're shrugging.
Yeah, when I don't think they really, it's not that they don't need to, it's just that historically, they've never been given the outlet or the avenue or even the permission, dare I use that word, to do so. So that's how, when I came across Mastermind Connect and I started to read into what Mastermind Connect is and what you guys do, I was so excited to reach out to say, JD, let's talk. Let's talk about men. Let's talk about our men. Let's talk about where they're coming from, what they're going through, and how we can get them to successfully and healthily, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, get to where they need to be. So JD, if you can please share your journey, your story, and how do you feel about the mouthful I just threw at you?
My first response with that would be like, how much time do you have?
How much time do you need? Let's do this.
Exactly, right. No, I don't want to talk up your series like that. But long and short, I guess weaving it into your opening, beginning with self and what that means and connecting all of those pieces. To a certain extent, I feel like most of us are amalgams of the people, places, and experiences that occurred within the first certain chunk of their lives, right? Like everything you see through like ages 4 to 6 sets the basis for what your personality is. And you'd sort of become you in your purest state, like around 12 or 13. And then you sort of spend the rest of your life trying to get back to that. Or at least that's what I've garnered from a lot of the people that I'm connected to, and definitely what I've discovered to be the truth about myself as I continue to grow, you know, in my ripe old age of 31. So what does that make me? Like maybe 9 years separated from childhood for real? I have found that like my greatest clarity comes from tapping into things that would make my 12-year-old self proud. And that's sort of how I modeled the steps that I've taken in adulthood, whatever that means. My personal theory is that adults are just kids with responsibilities and college loan debt. But exactly, like it's, we never really grow up. And understanding how the influences of location, family, time, country, language, ancestry come into play and collide with that 12 to 13 year old self in the body of a 31-year-old living in the world as we know it that no one really understands or ever really understood, to be honest. I just think this time period has taken a lot of the notions or the safeguarded assumptions that make the world more palatable. They're all gone. Everything's sort of been stripped away. And so what's left now in the midst of the economic situation or the pandemic or the rapidly shifting tides of like governments and global relations, we can talk on any one of those rabbit holes should you desire to. It all sort of comes down to that splinteredness of most people and the lack of connectedness with all of the pieces of that amalgam that make up you. And what's a nation but a collection of individuals, right? And I found that finding the we and the I and vice versa, the whole like Ubuntu principle, is key to healing communities by creating healthier individuals. It just so happened that for whatever reason, life saw fit to do that through the lens of like male empowerment, specifically as it relates to spiritual and emotional development, educational innovation, project management, and writing a whole bunch of grants. And so now I'm in a position where I figured out how to merge all of those. And it just so happened that it came by proxy of Mastermind Connect, because a group of men came together and had similar realizations and realized that along the way, a lot of what aided in that progression to the versions of ourselves that we wanted to be was the releasing of a lot of unnecessary baggage, whether that be because pop culture said so, or because your dad said, or maybe your dad wasn't there and you were raised by a whole bunch of women and you have that dynamic to contend with. And really just wanting to create a space for other men to go through whatever releasing or re-embracing that they needed to do. And then we understood that it needed to be able to run itself. So we figured out how to attach a business to it. Like at some point, whether you're like wasting your time or curing cancer or taking a nap, at some point you're going to need electricity. Like food, water, and shelter are all essential to pretty much get anything done. And all of that costs money. So needs to make money. But it's become healing work as much as it's become a crash course in business, finance, and logistics. And in the process of learning what those nuances need to be and how they need to function and interact with each other in like a harmonious way in which people are happy, stuff that needs to be done gets done on schedule, ideally under budget. But most importantly, like we make sure that the spirit of our community stays as authentic as possible. We don't always get it right. We do always seek to get it true. And I think that authenticity is what has made our organization successful and allowed us to continue to not only exist, but to actually be poised to grow in the midst of a current ecosystem in which giants are falling.
Yes. And one of the things that you said that I've never heard, and it's as simple as it is, you use the terms male empowerment, because we see women's empowerment, women's rights everywhere. And it's, and I appreciate it as a woman and as a Black woman, believe me, I fully, fully appreciate that, because I know without some form of women's empowerment, a lot of the rights I have today, I wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
However,
and that, which by the way, exists largely in part because of Black women. So there is that.
Right. And however, no, I don't think anybody really stops to think that about male empowerment and that men actually need that, because we hear, you know, it's a man's world and men and all these things. However, it's a case of, again, the burden of responsibility for them to carry the world.
So what happens when you're the winner, right?
Yeah. And it's also when you, if you liken it to not just men, but that person that's, of late, I've seen a lot on social media, checking on your strong friend.
Yeah.
Because everybody, they're always the go-to, but then who do they go to? And then if we liken it to men, it's the same thing, aren't they? They're the breadwinner. It's a man's world. All these things. So what happens then when a man needs to be empowered? So I'm so glad you said that. So talk to me, please, on male empowerment, because I think there's a lot of guys out there that could do with hearing that, okay, you know something, there's nothing wrong with me by feeling like I don't have it all together, because as the man, we look at men and think they're automatically supposed to have it all together. And when you look, if we drill it down, women have, to sound a little politically incorrect, we have had, for the most part, a lot of women have had some kind of training of how to be in a relationship and run a home. Because when we're little girls, we play with dollies, we play dress up, we've got our doll house and we've got our tea set. And for a lot of us as women, we are the ones that are taken into the kitchen. This is how you learn to cook. This is how you do this. This is how you do that.
This is very culturally specific, by the way. Like, you're telling on yourself.
But then where the boys then go out to play and so on. So then they grow into these men that, because I mean, I've dated guys that did not know how to do anything, pretty much anything for themselves. They didn't know how to cook. They didn't know how to keep house, because guess what? The girls,
the mothers or the sisters or the grandma, whoever else is doing it for them. Yeah.
And they, you know, they did it all. So they come into it. So then they now are men with households to run. They're men with children to raise. They're men with jobs of great responsibility. And it's almost as though a lot of them just woke up one day, landed in this world.
Mm-hmm. So, keep going. Keep going. We're almost there.
So they just woke up, landed in this world. And I can't speak for a man not being one, but I often wonder, do men not wake up one day and like, okay, how did I get here? the journey to here.
Yes.
What was that? You know, whereas, like I said, as a woman, I can remember being young and we're told that, okay, you wipe down on a Saturday, all the girls, we were there. You wipe down the baseboard, or if you're in the UK, the skirting board. You wipe down the baseboard in the house and you do this.
Yes.
And you clean the mirrors and you clean the bathroom and you do all of these things while the boys were out playing. So then a lot of these guys either end up in relationships where
they're looking for a mother.
Yeah, and they're emasculated in it, because sometimes, I'm not saying this for all women, but sometimes a woman would see that and think, yeah, without me, and then then you get the henpecked man, or you get the other man who doesn't know how to do that, and he's got this nice place and has to get this housekeeper in because he's got no clue of cleaning
products, how to manage life in that aspect.
Yeah. And And I just find that it's, we're doing, we have done such a disservice to a lot of men or young men, that they've cut the boys coming up into adolescence, adulthood. I think we've done such a disservice, and then we expect them to just have it all together, and they're the head of the corporate worlds, and they're the head of households, when I'm sure some, the little boy within them is like, help me, please.
Oh, completely lost and ignored. Okay, so yet another mouthful. Jeez, Allison. All right, so let's back it up a couple exits. From what I've found and what we've seen, mm-hmm. it comes down to the relationship, real and perceived, mm-hmm. right, of power dynamics. So, like, on the social totem pole, right, the expectation for men to have it all together stems from the fact that, like, if you compare the, I guess, the societal value, like, that social equity, men earn more money for the same jobs. Mm-hmm. You typically do get credit just for showing up. If I make a suggestion in a corporate meeting versus you, even though I'm still black, and I'm less credentialed than you are, you were born with a vulva. So at an implicit level, the assumption may actually still be somehow that whatever I have to say is more credible than you. Or more credible than that which you have to say. And so, like, I think it's that programming that lends one to say, well, ultimately you're the winner, so you get all of this. Why should I really care about your problems? It's like the same thing that we do to wealthy people. Like, yeah, you're crying and your life sucks, but you're crying on, you know, a $5,000 bed. Like, I would rather cry on a $5,000 bed than a $275 bed from IKEA. Mm. You know, that's thousand spread count sheet problems. I don't care about thousand thread count sheet problems. I'm busting my ass to get thousand thread count sheet problems. And so that's applied towards that same, the world is yours. It's a man's world, right? You can do what you want. The world is your toilet. You can go pee on a tree right now. You know how difficult it is for women to go to the bathroom on road trips? Like, the world is sort of engineered to make us more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So the idea that, like, we have needs, I could totally see why women are like, wait, what? How's your life so hard?
Yeah.
So that is one. Alternatively, the reality of the situation is those same dynamics that patriarchy created, like, screws everybody. Like, whether you're the warden, the prisoner, or like the prison guard, you're all doing time. So the current paradigm that all of this operates in is inherently toxic to everybody. That's why both toxic masculinity and toxic femininity are things. Like, both of us are maladjusted to this entire dynamic. This is how this side shows that dis-ease, and that's how the other side shows dis-ease, which is really all sickness is. You're unwell. Mm-hmm. And all of us are. So now the question is, how are men done well? And this is where we dig into the assumptions of, well, you're not really supposed to feel things. Until we want you to feel things, because now we're in a relationship. I need you to communicate. You're not communicating. Now I need you to communicate about how you're not communicating. And I don't like how you communicated that, because when you say it that way, it hurts my feelings. See, now I can't stand you. Now men ain't shit. or alternatively, yo, this dude cries a lot. He's kind of sensitive. Like, I need you to toughen up. I want to cry. If you're crying, I can't lean on your shoulder. And this applies for even the most woke and informed and emotionally intelligent of women that I know. We all have double standards of each other. The only difference is one is proliferated in a way that seems to be more socially acceptable. Like, everyone has double standards as it relates to women. Everyone has double standards as it relates to men. Like, me hitting you in the middle of the street is going to generate a completely different reaction than you slapping me in the face in a movie theater.
Because if I slap you in the face, you've automatically done something wrong.
Exactly. You know, and other women are looking like, what did you do?
Right. And it's just like, okay, hold on a second.
And dudes are just laughing. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because it could quite simply be a thing where it's just like, hold on, wait. she slaps him, or if I throw a drink in your face at a bar, it's obviously automatically because you were inappropriate.
Yes.
And nobody stops to think about, and this leads into a completely different, down a different exit, as you put it, that guess what? There are men that suffer from domestic abuse, domestic violence. That actually could be that. But because of the preconceived notions, and like you said, the programming, we're automatically going to assume if a man gets slapped in the face, he's done something inappropriate. And if a woman gets slapped in the face,
he's being abused.
Yes, and it's actually quite a double standard, because that actually might not be the case at all.
It might not. Now, statistically, let's be real. Like, men abuse women at a rate that's significantly higher.
and we are definitely not discounting that.
But we are
looking at that. It's not that.
Exactly.
It, you know what? Okay, 9 times out of 10, it may be the case, but that 1 time out of 10, it may not be.
Exactly. And that's all we're saying. And that's really just like one example. More commonly, it's just the lack of understanding of valuable human connection, which stems from like that disjointed relationship that men have to self, because there is a breadth of like thoughts, emotions, just general human existence that a lot of us either actually are or at least perceive ourselves to be separate from. Like, I can't feel that. Or you start to open yourself up to like matters of the heart in general, because most men, especially like men of color, if we're gonna go there, you know, BIPOC, let's rock with that. You're always manifesting, because the paradigm is sort of constructed to trip you up. Fundamentally, even if you removed all racists from economics, law enforcement, and education, the system itself, like at an infrastructural level, is designed so that I benefit less. So you spend most of your time, if you're not careful, in a state of playing chess. Mm. How can I be 3 moves ahead so I can manipulate this situation to make sure that I don't get the short end of the stick? So you end up living in your head a lot, and that disconnects you from the rest of you. And like, there's just more wisdom and understanding from the neck to the foot than there is from the shoulders to the top of the head. And so you miss out. And one thing that definitely goes out the window, speaking from personal experience, when things get real, empathy goes out. I become very impatient. I become very demanding. I don't have time. Get it done. You mess with my livelihood right now. Now I feel unsafe. Mm. And that is absolutely a trained behavior that stems from trauma. I know what it's like to be at the, I'm not going there again. I had to fight too hard to get to this.
And I'm glad you said that, because one of the things I wanted to ask you was, why Mastermind Connect? Why, what happened when you saw that need and you says, okay, because I'm a firm believer in, a lot of the times when we start a movement, when we start an organization, it is as a result of an experience lived, or as an as a result of something else that you saw somebody live that impacted you.
So many. That's an entire lifetime.
What is JD's journey that led to Mastermind Connect and JD's discovery of self?
So, from the observational level, just seeing the men who raised me and looking at like the benefits and also the things that I had to unlearn that may have served them for the time that they came to understand the world. But then keeping in perspective, when you raise anyone who was born of a different time, you have to keep in mind that like you're not teaching them to understand the world as you know it, because by the time they're going to be your age, that world won't exist anymore. Mm. And so it became a lifelong crash course infusing old school sensibility with new school innovation. Because like there are a lot of down-home traditional values that absolutely still work. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to get much without hard work.
Yes.
Period. Doesn't, whether you want to be a professional video gamer, whether you want to be Insta-famous, whether you want to cure cancer, it's going to take some level of discipline and tenacity. And that I have in truckloads because all I saw was work.
But where was the balance?
Exactly. And so now you see, oh, you're 60 and your body's shot because your association with your role as the man in this is self-sacrificed at like a masochistic level. But this, you had to survive some ungodly time. So I get it. Like, you were raised by a sharecropper. Like, normal for you. You were happy to go to school because it meant you didn't have to work on a farm. Your concept of a hard day's work is very different from mine. But it also taught me how to apply a different, like, I think there's a very real principle that I was instilled with. However, like, that compounded tendency towards self-sacrifice resulted in having all of this built up, whatever, whether that be stress, whether that be fatigue, whether that be deep emotional scarring that you won't talk about, either that because of something that happened in the home or because you happen to be alive during desegregation. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's all of that. And starting to decode what that looked like for generation one versus two versus three, and then applying that to the outside world and seeing how that played across different households, whether that be, once again, culture, location. I was blessed to have a very diverse group of people just growing up. So I got to see how that narrative played out in a different cultural context. And you just start to see the linkages, like, okay, we all have the same problem. We have different names for it, but the human experience is very similar, right? And so that heavily influenced what I focused on in my own self-development. Like, what type of man do I want to become? Because alternatively, I can also say the type of man I do not want to become. Being the youngest in a large family, you get a chance to sort of learn by proxy of other people's experiences. So now I can look and see modeled, if I do this today, in 5 years, this is probably going to be the result. Based on the way that my personality is. So you get a chance to like have a lot of cheat codes. Alternatively, if you're an extremist, like I inherently am, who likes to push things to the brink, you test out that cheat code on every single scenario until it breaks. I mean, you find out what the limits are. And it's been beneficial because I've been able to cover a lot of ground relatively quickly. And it's also potentially detrimental because that means you're gonna hit your head a lot. But it gave me a very firm understanding of how not to push things, whether that be working myself too hard, whether that be respecting other people's boundaries. And I think I was able to fuse that in a way that put me online to meet the right people. And Mastermind honestly took care of itself. At a real level, I genuinely believe that whatever Mastermind is, used us to create it. Because now it has its own momentum. And we've all been forced to take more accountability for more aspects of ourselves as it relates to self-discovery, because what we promote and what we bolster is growth and self-discovery. So now you have to be about that. Like, you have to walk it like you talk it. You say, yeah. Come here, this is what we do. Is it? Because the people on the inside are gonna get a good look at you. And if you're not consistently showing up, and doing the shadow work and actually doing this breath of meditation and actually modifying your diet so that you eat cleaner. And if you're actually exercising, like, all of these things, like, this is a subscription-based model. We're selling you content. Where's it going to come from?
Yeah.
It has to be your life. Hopefully that all made sense. I know that was another mouthful.
Yeah, no, honestly, it did make sense. And one of the things I liked and that you referred to as you used the examples that you had seen growing up and you referred to them as cheat sheets.
Absolutely.
Because
I got to skip a lot of headaches.
Yeah, because when you think about it, I think for the most part, that's what let me rephrase that, because some people don't recognize that and take advantage of that. Hence, Because, like, for example, I know these two young men. They're roughly about the same age, and they're both first cousins.
Mm.
So that means their mothers are sisters. They had the same experiences. And you know what it's like culturally back in the 70s. Listen, now a lot of us would be in care the way we used to get beaten, because we used to get beat. Right? And, yeah, you know, they pretty much had the same experiences. The same. Both of their mothers were kind of, I would say, a little bit extreme in the beating, and call it abusive, because in today's day and age, that's what you would call it.
You're right? Telling on yourself again. Listen, just...
And then fast forward a few years, I remember, yeah, I was back home in London, and I was walking out of the underground station, and you know, for some reason, I don't know why, but men don't like to call you by your name. It's psst or something to that effect. And then me being me, as far as I'm concerned, is that unless I hear my name or excuse me, this head does not turn. So... And then eventually I heard my name, so I stopped, and I recognized who it was, and we were talking, so I asked about his cousin. And he was just shook his head, and because he was telling me what he's doing, he's training to be a chef, he's got a little girl, all the great things that you could look at and think, okay, you're doing well. His cousin, on the other hand, was in the paper as one of the area's most wanted, on the run, been in and out of jail. And I say that to say, one cousin looked at the cheat sheet.
And the other did not.
And the other did not. And it's just amazing that you could have two people.
You can have two brothers that grow up in the same house to do that.
Right. And so I like the fact that he referred to it as looking at the cheat sheet and looking at the examples in your life and thinking, you know something? Yeah, that path right there. Yeah, that's not for me. But then this part, I could quite easily see me doing that. So I say that to say, looking at the cheat sheet, because you know something, you could have gone in a completely different direction, because it's also a case of the rush of being the bad man, so to speak, and
listen, it's fun when it's fun. I totally understand why people succumb to that lifestyle, especially if you're a habitual rule breaker. Like if you're someone who is inherently does not care to acknowledge boundaries, because then all you hear is no. So as someone who's inherently rebellious, just I figured out how to play the game differently. So I just push different boundaries. Like there are hard lines and there are lines that are a bit more malleable. But when properly applied, now that rule breaking is called innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, cool. Like don't sell dope. Don't rob people. Well, that's cool. Like I don't really care. I know what that comes with. I've seen that played out. We're good. Hove did that. Hopefully you don't have to go through that. So for me, it's finding which rules no longer apply or serve me, or more importantly, like serve the general zeitgeist that I would like to see exist, right? So now I apply that towards the school to prison pipeline or healthcare access disparity. It requires the same energy. It's just redirected. So it's less about that tendency itself being bad and more about the prism that you're refracting that light out of. That's not going to, like, the frequency that you're on is not going to yield the desired result. Tune that a little bit. It's like a string on a guitar that's out of sync. Like, you have to tune the instrument. That's what we are. We're essentially radios.
And would you say that's where Mastermind Connect comes in?
Absolutely. That was my tuning fork.
So organizations like yours and Mastermind Connect, what is your desired outcome for the men that connect with yourselves?
Honestly, so that's a very good question. Because to a certain extent, like our real product is access. And most of the magic comes from our members. So our only ask is that people show up as authentically as possible. So we know number one, who you are, so we know how to best assist you as we usher you in. And it's interesting that we're having this conversation now because we're in the process of restructuring that. Like, we had an idea. It mostly came from us. Well, Mastermind Connect hasn't been the quote-unquote founders for a few years now. It has so many different faces, and we're spread across the country. So, and now, like, with the COVID situation, we're just as much virtual as we are physical. In some cases, more. So now we have to be more mindful of what that looks like and how that translates to people who are not in New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, or Denver, Colorado. Like, that we have to be mindful of the Carolinas and Louisiana and Texas and other parts of California. So, and also as we continue to expand, you know, potentially globally. And so that requires a lot of releasing of the reins. The one thing that we need from our members is to bring whatever their magic is. Because, like, I already know what I have. I push the capacity, or, like, I guess the boundaries of my own capabilities on a regular basis. I probably need some of what your wisdom looks like. So I need you to be as dope as you can possibly be so you can continue to bring this, because it's to my benefit that you prosper.
But
how do we help you get there?
Right, that is where I'm going, because it's all well and good to say I need you to bring your magic, but are we not talking about because it would be all great if we were all conscious, right? It would be great, like really wonderful, but a lot of people aren't.
Oh, most people aren't.
And I'm not saying conscious as in we've got to start the next Black Panther movement or something like that.
You don't need to drink sea moss to be that kind of conscious. Right. There's just aware, absolutely.
That's exactly where I'm going. Just an awareness of where you're coming from and really what your needs are. But you've got a lot of men, and dare I say, you've got actually a lot of women that don't know that, don't know how to get to that, don't know how to tap into that. So Mastermind Connect, is that something where, for example, a guy could just come in and say, look, I've reached the age of nearly 50 years old, and I've been relatively successful in what I'm doing, but I feel like I've been feeling my way in the dark in some areas. I've been feeling like I've just been going with the flow. That flow has led me in good directions. I've had some pitfalls, but how do I tap into, to use that term you used, that magic that I need to bring to make me more of a whole human being, a whole man, a whole person, so that my sons and my grandsons coming up don't have to feel like, okay, I'm feeling disconnected. I'm feeling like, does it make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, that's why I'm laughing. So when these conversations have happened and we get to that place, the first thing that I'm very clear on is neither myself nor anyone else externally is going to give you anything that you don't already have. I'm not giving you shit. I am simply shedding a light in a general direction because you're in the dark, which means you're still trying to see, but you're in a cave. You can't know. You have to feel your way out. And that's sort of the point. And that gets me to my next point of reinforcing that notion of dropping out of your head into your body. A lot of the awakening of the divine masculine principles, which we have an entire series on at this point, is getting men to acknowledge the feminine polarity that exists within themselves. A lot of the whole masculine notion is centered between two things, and those two things are your right and left leg. It's centered around the genitalia that you're born with. And it's like, it has nothing to do with a penis. It's like, they are, knowing what I know about you in the field that you operate in, clearly there's an awareness of masculine polarity that you operate pretty well in. That's how you're able to assume the positions that you assume and command the respect that you so clearly do. It's in your posture. Your shoulders are back. Like, clearly you mean what you say. However, there's a part of you that is like equally like nurturing, that probably wants to be loved for and, you know, supported and protected. And fundamentally, all of us have those dynamics operating in different volumes, of course, like my base charge is might be a bit different than yours, but ultimately we want different proportions of the same thing.
Mm.
And that's what we usually explain. And then depending on where you are in your life journey of interacting with that particular information, you either say exactly so, step two, or you say, I didn't understand half of that. What the hell is divine masculinity and what is polarity? Mm. And then we say, okay, cool, go holler at them. And then also, in what other aspects of your life are you looking to expand? Your project manager, cool. At what level are you currently, and to what level do you think you want to progress to? Go talk to this professional over here. I want to buy real estate. Cool, they're a real estate broker. Go talk to them. But don't forget to do your homework. Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to really communicate with anybody. Because this is the language that we speak. Chances are, if you're being led here, you already are a bit atypical. We're not for everybody, nor do we profess to be. You get vetted.
Mm.
If we don't vibe with your energy, or we feel like your intentions aren't in the right place, like, you're not going to be offered membership. Because you have to be selective, because once again, authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the spirit of this endeavor has to function in a certain way, otherwise it's going to crumble. And that's been what has been our saving grace, because it's worked. The gentlemen that are in our circle hold us accountable all the time. If we are slacking, someone's going to let you know.
Mm.
So that forces you to level it up, because we're on a team.
Yeah.
If this isn't the JD show by any stretch. And there are dozens of folks who will affirm that. I don't get it twisted. I know my role. And yeah, like, it's, I don't.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. Continue. You can go.
No, you were saying it's not the JD show, and I can fully understand and appreciate how people may perceive that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good thing that like you said, you give them homework, you vet people, and you see mm-hmm. where people are, because the reality is, we have to meet people where they are. And the unfortunate—
not where we think they should be.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is as well, there's many times we have to leave people where they are, because we're not going to be able to help everybody. And that is the truth. That's the reality.
Jesus says we don't.
Right. And even then, he don't save everybody, because everybody has, you know, and you have to then have an open heart, a contrite heart, and all the rest of it. So
mm-hmm.
there you go, right? So that's interesting, because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, obviously, with looking at the men that I know, the men in my life, men I'm related to. And there's so many times I've looked at things that they've gone through. And men I've been in relationships with, and I just looked at it and I just thought to myself, coming up 10, 15 years ago, if only there were organizations and companies and mm-hmm. like Mastermind Connect. Because I think there's a lot of men that need a lot of healing.
Have you paid attention to the last 30 years?
That's
black and brown, like,
conversations, JD. Because yeah, I've been paying attention, and yeah. That's why I can put my hand up and I say there are men. I believe there are a lot of men that yep. need healing. I mean, I've known men that have gone through divorce. I've known men that have gone through the courts because of how they've wanted to see their children, but because whatever reason, the relationship didn't end great, so the child's been used as a pawn to hurt them. I've seen men go through stuff, but yet we behave as though they've gone through that and it doesn't affect them somehow. But it does. It has to, right? It has to affect them somehow.
Affects everything. So yes, the question is whether or not you choose to acknowledge it. That's a real narrative that we—
you said whether or not they choose to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Up until the last 5 years, have men been given the opportunity to be able to acknowledge it, though?
Oh, absolutely. Seven tops. Yeah, about that. That sounds about right.
Up until then. So what about
everybody before that?
Right. And not even everybody before that. I'm talking about still, because 7 years is still relatively a short period of time.
Very.
So in the last 7 years, there's not that many places or avenues or outlets that have come up in the last 7 years for men worldwide to be able to know exist, to be able to tap into it, to help them on that journey of men connecting with men. And I'm not talking about in a seedy way, but men connecting with men to be able to empower each other, help each other, hold each other accountable.
Yes.
So that men can live healthier lives on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, and on a mental level.
Whew, okay. Repeat that last sentence. That was about five dynamics in once, and I want to make sure that I catch all of them before we wrap up.
Men connecting with men, and not in a seedy way, to hold each other accountable.
Yep.
To encourage and support each other. To be there for each other, to help each other build, grow, and heal on an emotional level, on a mental level, and in some cases, on a spiritual level, because even the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron.
Exactly. On a much more spiritual level than one would assume, actually. That's been a recent addition. To encapsulate all of that, which we may need to use that clip, because that's such a good sum of them. Put that on the website.
You're welcome, JD.
That was so good. Because that is exactly what we seek to do. We look at it holistically. We want to look at the entire person. And that includes the dark and the shadow. And that actually starts with the spirit and then goes to the mind and then goes to the body. But our principles, like our pillars, officially are resources, reciprocity, and respect, with the add-on of accountability. Our goal is to stay as true to those, to everything that you just named, as possible, and then create programming in events and corporate partnerships and youth programs, because we have a nonprofit. Well, we don't have, there is also the nonprofit of Young Masterminds Initiative. And we applied those same things to 15-year-olds, because imagine if all of us had been introduced to this as a preteen.
Yes.
Many of us would have avoided, you know, a lot of needless hardships.
Start at 12, drop it down 3 years.
And our range is 12 to 17. So
okay, yeah, because definitely. So as women, what can we do to help?
Without women, we wouldn't have been here in the first place, to be honest with you. The irony in men's work is...
There's that part. I didn't want to blow our trumpet too loudly, you know?
Truth doesn't need any debate. And the funny thing about the truth is, like, you don't have to be excited about it or even like it to acknowledge the fact that it's a fact. Objectively speaking, it has been women like yourself who see the work and understand the necessariness and probably have been working in that capacity and got to that wall where they realize men actually need to do this. Then saying, there are some men who are doing this. I think they're doing this. Let me learn more about them, because, you know, y'all study everything first. And then randomly we'll get a message and it's like, hey, I love what you're doing. Here's my nephew. Here's my boyfriend. Here's my husband. Here's my brother. For either membership or programming, or I see what you're doing here. I like this. How do we help you make it bigger? And that goes, once again, like, you can't move an entire community. I like to say village, because I think like a caveman. And completely shamelessly at that, I fully embrace that. But how do you move a community forward if only one half of the constituency is evolving? And I think for a long time, women have figured out how to promote each other and support each other through hard times. That is how the diaspora has been able to persist in such a way, right? So a lot of our cues have been sort of taken from the other side of the aisle and say, how do they support each other? Cool, we don't necessarily need that, but we do need to support each other that well.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for us now? And so we find ourselves sort of creating what that paradigm is going to entail. Mm-hmm. And that's become what the culture is.
And it's and that's how we started. It looks like we're going to end how we started, because that is
we always do.
What we said in the beginning about women being able to connect and talk and share, men not having that. So obviously programs like Mastermind Connect are allowing men that space, that freedom, that platform to be able to do that with each other. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. So JD, what is next for Mastermind Connect?
Well, for Mastermind Connect, it is specifically making this pivot and, you know, restructuring much of how our digital programming goes. We released an app this year called Alchemy, just because we wanted our own alternative to social media. Like, and if you want to be an owner, you have to own everything, and that includes your data. I'm cool with more of my stuff not being on the database over at the Facebook head office. And so building that out, making the offerings in there more robust, continuing to listen more to our membership and like the structuring of our board, you know, and the council that's going to come from there, and how the program develops and scales, because now it's gotten too big for us to manage. All good problems, but it also requires a lot of time and energy. So working smarter for sure. Letting the members definitely have, well, not letting them, just stepping out of the way, I think, so that that magic that has been activated can like continue to bear more fruit. For Young Masterminds Initiative, that is just expansion in general. Our Camping to Connect initiative, where we take, you know, young men from the city and we do outdoor leadership development by proxy of wilderness excursion. Obviously it's kind of novel. And so that's garnered more attention. And so probably going to spend a bit more time in the woods.
Rather you than me.
Oh, well, no, I love it. I grew up as a Boy Scout. So like my normal is going outside quite often. That's why corporate didn't work full stop.
Yeah, I get that.
That's what's going on with us.
And where can people find you?
www.mastermindconnect.com. And you can do mastermindconnect.com/Young Masterminds Initiative, or just YMI, I forgot. But if you Google either, it'll pop up. Our Camping to Connect, you can find us at campingtoconnect.com, IG Mastermind Connect, Facebook Mastermind Connect.
Great, thank you. JD, this has been great. As always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Looking forward to connecting with you on more projects. And
just, exactly.
It's very heartwarming to hear that there are programs like the ones you guys run that are there to help men, empower men, bring a community of men together to hold each other accountable so that they can be better people, better, because it's not just about being a better husband, a better father, a better boss. It's about being a better man, and sometimes for themselves, because you need to be a better man for you first, before you can be a better man for your wife, your child, your employees, and so on. So thank you so much for sharing the first part of your birthday with me. And
thank you for giving me space to give a gift. It's how many people you bless is how you measure success. So well received, and continue to do this work of bigging up the people who are doing the work. That's how the world finds out about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, JD. Blessings to you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Be safe and stay sane.
Likewise. Okay, fine.
Okay. All right. So I'm hanging up. I wasn't sure if you were pausing the recording first or...
Thank you for spending time with us. We're already looking forward to the next episode of This is Conversations with Allison J. The journey to here. Until next time, honor, respect, and blessings to you all. If you want to connect, visit AllisonJ.net. That's AllisonJaye.net. Allison with one L, as she is the one and only.